This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, and welcome to Yak Yarns, brought to you by the Canterbury District Health Board Youth Advisory Council.
Yak Yarns is an informative show that aims to educate and bring awareness to all things youth health. You can find us on our Instagram, Facebook and website.
Let us know if you have any questions
or if there's anything you want to know from our friendly health professionals.
We hope you enjoy this episode. It's time to yak about health.
Hey guys, welcome along to episode 3 of Yak Yarns. My name's Chelsea, I'm the Deputy Chairperson for the CDHB Youth Advisory Council, but I'm going to introduce Taylor from Endo New Zealand. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Lovely to be here.
So great. Thought we'd just start off by you introducing yourself, what you do, and basically who you are.
Yeah, cool. So, I'm Taylor. I work for Endometriosis New Zealand. So we're a very small charity, just teaching people, raising awareness about endometriosis. And I am their health educator. So my main role is going into secondary schools and teaching and raising awareness, helping people that learning what a normal period is and what's potentially endometriosis and teaching them how they can get help. Yeah. And then we also work with doctors, researchers on sort of the other side, learning more about endometriosis, yeah. And just supporting people who are going through, you know, suffering with endometriosis or their whānau, because it does affect more than just the individual. It, you know, affects everyone that they're around as well. So, you know, however that may be, whether it's in the workplace, you know, talking on the phone, we have it all.
Awesome. You do a lot for just a little charity, you know, you do a lot. Cool. So I thought we'd kind of kick off. We had lots of questions come through from young people. So one of the main questions that were asked was, what is normal menstrual health? You know, we talk about menstrual health, but what is normal menstrual health?
So with normal, everyone is really different. So a really helpful way to figure out what your normal would be is tracking your period. So you can do that on, you know, you can get period tracking apps on your phone. It might just be using the calendar on your phone or even just a physical diary or however it works for you, and keeping a track of everything that you're experiencing throughout the month. So not just when you've got your typical period, but symptoms happening across the month. And over time, as you're tracking things, what you'll start to notice, hopefully, is there is some sort of rhythm. So you know, okay, I'm going to get my period. It generally lasts, you know, however many days. It's usually this heavy. This is my normal. Yeah. If you're noticing that you're getting pain outside of your period, or you're getting pain symptoms that are popping up throughout your period, that's when you know something might be going on. But everyone is different. So the way, you know, if you are tracking, that's how you can figure out what your period is, because everyone, you know, what you've got will be different to me and person. So that way you can then also, if you do have concerns, take it along to the doctor and they can physically see what's happening, when it's happening, you know, how bad is it? And then they'll be able to work with you to figure out best next steps.
Awesome. Yeah, because I think it'd be quite hard to, you know, periods, we have them like every month, and you know, it can be even more than every month. And you, when you go to see a GP or something, you can almost kind of forget what's been going on. So having like a tracked record of what you've, like what's been happening symptom wise is so helpful. So I guess we've kind of talked about normal menstrual health, but I guess when do you know if it's abnormal? When do you know if something's not quite right? Do you know? Is it just a...
I mean, with sort of normal or abnormal, what we tend to say is discomfort. So a little bit of pain, a little bit of cramping, that can often be normal with a period. It's the distressing pain that's never normal. So if you notice it's getting in the way of you being able to go to school or go to work, if you're unable to do stuff with friends or whānau, or if, you know, it's just, you know, every day-to-day thing, that when your period comes or when you've got that pain and symptoms happening, if you are having to stop doing life, that's when it's not normal. So anything that's happening that is stopping getting in the way of things, that's when we say, hey, look, we suggest you go and talk to someone. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's endometriosis. I don't want anyone like freaking out going, oh my gosh, I have endometriosis. It's just that we suggest you go and talk to someone else, have a bit of a chat, and they'll be able to work with you to come up with a bit of a plan forward.
Awesome. So like another question that kind of came through was, you know, someone was talking about how maybe earlier in life, so when they first started getting their periods, they kind of considered them as normal, but they've become a young adult and their periods have kind of changed, or maybe they've got more pain or different things. Can they change, or are you quite consistent if you've kind of started having like normal periods? Are they normally consistent right through?
Yeah, so everyone can change, obviously, as we're getting older, our hormones and things are changing. So it is quite possible for your periods to change. The other thing that may happen is if you do go on the pill can then regulate your hormones and help regulate your period or potentially even stop your period. So if you do start the pill and then you come off it later in life, that's when you may start experiencing symptoms or pain that you'd never had before. It may have been that the pill, the contraceptive pill, was covering some of the symptoms. So there's different things that may be going on, but at any point we always say, you know, if you start to notice things appearing, popping up, going, oh my goodness, this is just not right, we always, you know, definitely recommend going to talk to doctor, nurse, gynecologist if you've tried talking to people and it kind of hasn't worked. With endometriosis, we don't know the exact cause of what it's from. So there's a few different theories out there. We've got researchers and scientists working away to figure out the exact cause. They're coming up with a few different things, one of which is family genes. So it seems to run in families. So that means, you know, if mum or grandma or someone has endo, you're more likely to have it. But that's not the only thing. Some people might go, okay, none of my family members have any issues. They're all happy. You know, we don't know where this has come from. So because we don't know exactly is what's causing it, we don't know if it was always there and something's triggered the endo or if, you know, your hormones have changed and caused it. So it's kind of hard to say, you know, if it's there from the start or if it's changed, something's happened to cause the pain or symptoms later on in life. But it is possible for your period, just as you age, for things to change, as your body gets used to things, your hormones change. Things may change. That's where tracking periods can be super useful as well, because you can potentially notice that change as you go along.
Yeah, awesome. So you just kind of started talking about endometriosis there, in terms of, you know, that we don't actually quite know yet where how it exists. Can you just tell us a little bit more about endo, kind of the stats, what it is? Just for people that might not have never heard of endometriosis in general.
Yeah, absolutely. So endometriosis, or we can call it endo, it's far easier to say. It's when tissue similar to the lining of the uterus, so the endometrium, when tissue similar to that is found growing outside the uterus in a place where it shouldn't be. Unfortunately, we don't know the exact cause of why it's outside the uterus, but we know that it's not meant to be there, and it can look quite red and inflamed. It is an inflammatory disease, and endo can cause some, you know, pretty horrible symptoms. Endo can sort of come up differently for everyone. So it can be cramps, you know, severe cramping or pain in the abdomen area. Some people get pain in their lower back. It might be tops of their legs. Some people find that they get bowel-related symptoms. So it might be bloating, constipation, diarrhea. Some people get pain with urination, pain with intercourse or pain with sex. There's a range of different symptoms. We have a full list, just if anyone is interested, on our website. So just Google endometriosis New Zealand and it will pop up and you can go through all the symptoms on there. But it's different for everyone. So what, you know, the symptoms are, you don't have to be ticking every symptom on that list. Which makes it, you know, a little bit more complicated. But, you know, it might just be one or two of those symptoms there that is really causing some grief. We still suggest, you know, hey, if you've you notice those cramps are really, really bad, getting in the way of doing stuff, or the pain with sex is, you know, really causing issues, still go and chat to someone. Don't go, oh, you know, I'm just being dramatic, or, you know, any of that sort of stuff. So, yeah, but annoying that endo can be different for everyone, yeah. But it's super common. While loads of people have never heard of it, it's actually really, really common. So what we know is it affects about 1 in 10. So that's 176 million right around the world. And in New Zealand, that's around about 130,000 Kiwis. So super common. That common, you will know someone in your life who has it if you don't already. Unfortunately, it's just not really talked about. People still find it, I guess, talking about periods and all of that sort of stuff. Just something that they're not overly comfortable about, which sort of, I guess, a little bit silly because it is a completely natural body function. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, doing things like this and we can get people chatting about it, get people comfortable talking about something that is so common.
Yeah, definitely. So, of course, we've kind of talked about how we should maybe see a GP if you're concerned about anything. How is endometriosis diagnosed? I know that's more of a medical kind of question, but how is it commonly kind of diagnosed?
Yeah, so the only way to officially diagnose endometriosis is with this thing called laparoscopic surgery or keyhole surgery. So this surgery is carried out by a gynecologist or a specialist in women's health. And we ideally want a gynecologist who specializes in endometriosis, just because they've done extra study. They know the, I guess, the gold standard of treating endometriosis.
Yeah.
With the keyhole surgery, it's surgery, so the person is put to sleep with general anesthetic. And how we want the endometriosis removed is with this really clever technique called excision or resection. Pretty much what that means is the skin where the endo is growing is cut out and new skin will grow in its place. And that's like a really, really basic overview. If you were talking to a gynecologist, they'd be able to give you, you know, a lot more detail.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm not. But yeah, so the only way to sort of officially diagnose it is with the laparoscopic surgery. A lot of people, when they go to the doctor, will get tests and scans done. So, you know, for example, blood tests, they might get MRI or an ultrasound maybe, just to make sure nothing else is going on, which is fabulous. We want to, you know, be sure that nothing else is going on, that everything else is sitting where it should be, that it's happy, it's healthy. If those tests do come back clear, it's not ruling out endometriosis. So if for some reason you do get, you know, those tests come back and your doctor says, hey, look, you know, they're clear, we're good, we'll, you know, you either have to deal with the pain or let's come up with something else to manage it, definitely push for a referral through to a gynecologist, because then they will be able to take it that step further and do the laparoscopic surgery. Not everyone has to have the surgery, however. I don't want anyone freaking out going, oh my goodness, surgery, that's a really big deal.
Yeah.
You can still have, you know, from the symptoms and everything that you're going through, the gynecologist might say, look, we think you have endometriosis. We're pretty sure that's what it is. We can manage it without that official diagnosis. But a lot of people find that having that diagnosis can help both the mental aspect and, you know, being able to put a name to everything you're going through can be really helpful. A lot of people also find that surgery can help manage some of the pain and the symptoms that they're experiencing as well. But I don't want anyone freaking out going, oh my goodness, surgery.
Yeah.
Because it is a big deal. So there are lots of ways to help manage things without having to go straight for the surgery.
Awesome. So we just kind of, yeah, talked about like seeing a doctor or getting a like gynecologist referral. What do you do if they aren't taking you seriously? Like, you know, you're trying to push for a gynae referral and maybe, you know, as you say, results could come back clear and so they think it's fine. What do you do if they're not like taking you seriously?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we still have a lot of people that come to us and they're saying, look, you know, I'm feeling like I'm crazy, that all of this is in my head. People aren't taking me seriously. if you're talking to a doctor or even a gynecologist, if you're talking to someone and they don't believe you or they're not taking you seriously, please go and get a second or maybe even a third opinion. Go and talk to someone else, because trust me, it's not in your head. You know your body better than anyone else will know your body. So don't let anyone tell you that, hey, you know, it is in your head. We just have to deal with that pain. You kind of have to suck it up.
Yeah.
If you're going through everything and you don't feel like you're getting anywhere, if you're talking to doctors, what I would suggest is just asking for a referral through to a gynecologist to chat to someone else that is more specialized in women's health. Yeah. We have also recently, beginning of March, released a document called The Diagnosis and Management of Endometriosis in New Zealand. So that was driven by ENDS, and it was alongside Ministry of Health. So it is a Ministry of Health document, but it was driven by ENDS alongside the medical colleges and all of that. And this is sort of the ideal pathway of how we want endometriosis managed in New Zealand. So if you feel like you're talking to someone and it's not going anywhere, you can print out this document and go, this is what I think I have. This is, you know, I need to get some more information, and take that document along with you. So that document, if you do need to find it, is also on the website, Endometriosis New Zealand, under news blog. So you can go on there. It is also on the Ministry of Health website. If you Googled endometriosis, I think it would hopefully pop up, but it's on our website that you can go and have a read through. You can print it off, take it to whoever. And that's just another document from the Ministry of Health to back you up, saying, look, this is how I should be treated. You may even educate people along the way. But yeah, and as horrible as it is that you're having to, you know, fight or, you know, feel like you're not being believed by doctors, there is, you know, someone else out there that will take you seriously and that will work with you to get that diagnosis, or, you know, if it's not endometriosis, figure out what it may be and, you know, help you deal with everything that's going on, really.
Yeah, awesome. So I guess I had another kind of question, which was more specifically related to gynecologists, and they're talking about how long do we expect to wait to see a gynecologist if we get a referral put through? How long is it till we actually get to see them? Because, you know, GPs, we might be able to see them within a week or 2 weeks, depending on how busy they are. But is it the same for gynecologists? Is it a lot longer?
Yeah. That's a big question. So in New Zealand, there's a couple of different ways that you can go and see a gynecologist. So you can either go through the public system in New Zealand, which is all completely free, or you can have health insurance to go and see a gynecologist privately. So if you are going privately, you will be covered by your insurance. We double check that you're covered by your insurance, and you can make an appointment with whoever you want to see. And it would just be teeing up with the gynecologist when they're free and when suits you to have that appointment. So it's a lot quicker. Yeah. And then that way you can be a little bit pickier on who you want to visit. So you can make sure you're seeing a gynecologist who specializes in endometriosis. If you're going through the public system in New Zealand, not a problem. It will take a little bit longer, however. So with the doctor, they'll send off a referral form through to your DHB, to your hospital. With the referral form, you want to make sure it's super detailed, making sure it explains, you know, what symptoms you've got going on, if it's getting in the way of school, you know, university, work. It might be mental health even, relationships, anything like that that's going on. Make sure that's listed in the referral form, because the more information they have, the better that the hospital will be able to tell everything that's going on and slot you into that wait list. Yes. Unfortunately, however, all across New Zealand, it is different on the wait list, so I can't give real times. But if you were to chat to the doctor that you're getting the referral from, they'll be able to give you a bit better of an idea on your specific hospital and what the potential wait list times are. to get an appointment to see someone.
Cool. So I'm just kind of piggyback off, you're talking about the private system there in terms of, you know, it's more you get to pick. How do you know about going to pick a gynecologist? Is that something you talk with your GP through and they know private ones, or can you just kind of go yourself and get it? But then how do you know who to go see, apart from you said specialised in endo? How do you know about it?
I mean, it may be that you talk to your doctor. If it's someone that you trust, you know, you see your family doctor and you get along well with them and you trust their opinion, you could go through that. We also, again, on the website, have a group called ESIG. So our ESIG group is Endometriosis Special Interest Group, is what it stands for. And they are just a heap of experts from around New Zealand, and there's a few from around the world who specialise in the treatment and management of endo. We do have a few gynecologists on there scattered about New Zealand. So if, you know, you were trying to find a starting point to find someone, you could go on there. We've got their profiles. You can read a wee bit more about them and where they are in New Zealand. If you get, you know, hear a name or a friend, family member goes, oh, they're really good, you should go and see them, you can just Google their name, real simple, and it will pop up with their private clinic. And then you can have a read through, you know, check that they do specialise in endo. And if you're not sure about who they are, what they do, you can always just ring their clinic. Their receptionist or their nurse will be able to chat to you, a little bit more background, give you potential costs if you need to know any of that sort of stuff. So there's lots of ways. And, you know, if you're getting super confused or overwhelmed, you can always just get in touch with us. That's kind of what we're here for. You know, so we're always here to help and advise, to give you some ideas forward as well.
Awesome. I guess because we were kind of talking earlier about menstrual health and stuff, it is kind of still a bit of a taboo subject. It can be really hard for young people to go off and talk about it. Do you have any suggestions about how do you kind of approach this conversation with your GP, or maybe even if you do get told that you do have endo or that you have something else going on, how do you talk about it with your friends and kind of share what's going on? Because it is a taboo subject and it can be, some people can feel really awkward kind of talking about it.
Absolutely. Talking with your doctor, definitely if you're not comfortable talking to them, I would suggest going to find someone that you are comfortable with, because you, the more information the doctor has, the better they're going to be able to help treat you. So finding a doctor that you feel super comfortable being able to just go, this is everything I'm going through, please help me, is super key in just being able to manage whatever you potentially are going through. So it might be going to a couple of different people, getting a few opinions, or trying a few different doctors until you find that one you really click with. In terms of talking to friends, family members, other people about endo or periods in general, what I would suggest is starting with people you really trust, someone that's really close to you, and going, hey, look, this is what I'm going through. This is, you know, the pain or the symptoms. And it may be bringing up, you know, the ENDS website, or, you know, having some medical information there that can kind of back you up, rather than it just being, you know, people think periods, blood, oh my goodness, no. But it can kind of take away from that and look at it more of like that medical side of things, might just help remove some of the, the awkwardness around periods. Endometriosis isn't just, you know, bad periods. It's so much more than that. It can do, you know, all of these pains, these symptoms, it can affect things in the pelvic region, or, you know, be found so much more than just a bad period. So if you take away from, you don't even have to mention periods if you don't want, you could just go, hey, look, these are the symptoms I've got going on. This is what's been found. I've had this surgery, or I might have to have this surgery, and look at it from that angle might help. But definitely talking to people you trust first up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, having them there, maybe that support you need to talk to other people. If you don't feel comfortable letting other people know, you don't have to. Completely whatever you're comfortable with, really. it's always going to be an awkward topic, you know, to start with. But the more people talking about it, the more we are openly going, hey, look, this is what I've got going on.
Yeah.
The more people will be like, oh, you know, it's not actually that bad to talk about. Or you may, without even realizing, go, this is what I'm going through. And someone else will go, oh my goodness, that's what I'm going through. Or, oh, I know so-and-so who has this. And, you know, start up a really good conversation, like I said earlier, is super common. So chances are, if you don't have it yourself, you're going to know someone who has it. And so you're going to be able to have those conversations with people you may not have ever thought were struggling themselves.
Yeah, awesome, good tips there, because it is, like, so many people, I've had so many conversations with young people, and it's one of the things that they really struggle with, especially if they do have issues or whatever, they don't know how to talk about it. So that's awesome. I guess the other question we had come through was workplaces and endo. Do they need to share that they have endo, you know, because I think some of the concerns that were coming through were questions about if I need to take time off work and I'm struggling to tell them about what's actually going on, how do you kind of approach it? Do you need to tell workplaces? And if you do, how do you tell them?
I mean, it would depend on each person and their workplace. Some workplaces, especially if you're taking an extended time off, require a doctor's note to say, yeah, I'm actually sick. I'm not just taking a holiday or something. So it would be entirely up to you if you were to tell them or if you had to tell them. It may be finding someone within the workplace that you trust, that you do feel that connection with, that you're comfortable going, hey, look, this is what I'm going through. Can you help me maybe talk to a manager? Can you help me? Or if, you know, you feel super comfortable or you want to educate them about what you're going through, you can, again, you know, maybe even using the ENDS website, just again, that medical stuff to back you up so people learn about endometriosis. We also offer a workplace wellness. So it's called WISE, and we come into workplaces and go, this is what endometriosis is. This is how you can support people in your workplace who have endo, you know, help raise awareness. So it would be, you know, up to each person. And again, it's just finding those people you trust. If you're not comfortable at, you know, the start, you don't have to tell them. If it is getting in the way of work and, you know, being able to do your job, it may get to the point where you need to start having that conversation. But quite often they will then work with you to come up with, you know, ways around managing pain or symptoms that you've got going on. It might be that you, you know, if you've got bad cramps, you might sit with a hot water bottle at your desk, or, you know, if you need to sit and stand. So, you know, or being able to take a break and go for a walk, or however works for you to be able to manage some of the pain and the symptoms. Most people will hopefully be super supportive and, you know, quite likely have someone in their family or one of their good friends that has endo as well. So, you know, you might, again, start that conversation and be surprised where it goes.
Yeah. Awesome. And I guess the kind of one of the final questions we had was around, you know, when you think of like endo, you think of periods, it's obviously quite medical based. Is there more to it in terms of coping mechanisms or ways to kind of deal with your periods? Is it just medicine, or is there other different routes or pathways to help essentially, or is it just medicine and, like, you know, medications and things to manage it?
Yeah. So with endometriosis, there's a few ways to help manage it. Because we can't sort of officially cure it yet, there's lots of things that we can do to manage the pain and the symptoms. So we've obviously got the laparoscopic surgery or the keyhole surgery. So that's one wee aspect. I briefly mentioned the contraceptive pill. So that can also help manage some of the pain and the symptoms someone might be going through. So that would be working with either your gynecologist or your doctor to figure out what might work for you, what might be helpful. Some people do find other pain medications can be useful on, you know, those really bad days. We don't obviously want to be relying on stuff like that long term. So then that's where it comes into more of the holistic side of managing endo. So we've got stuff like nutrition. So in particular, people with bowel-related symptoms can find diet or particular foods can trigger symptoms or make them worse. So being aware of what you're eating, taking note, and it might be, again, you know, alongside tracking your pain and your symptoms, tracking what foods you're eating, and hopefully you'll notice a food that's causing some of the pain or the symptoms, making them a little bit worse. And then you can go, okay, this is what might be causing it. And then cutting it out of your diet to see if that manages it. Of course, we're not allergic to the food. So it just means your body doesn't like it as much. You might be a little bit intolerant to it. So you don't have to cut it out completely. It doesn't mean you can never eat it again in your life. Or, you know, it might be your favorite food and you go, oh my goodness. It might be that, you know, you just eat less of it. So people find that managing nutrition can be quite useful. We've also got exercise. Exercise is a great natural pain relief. When I say exercise in terms of endometriosis, I don't mean it has to be a massive workout or a huge run or anything ridiculous like that. Some days when the pain or the symptoms might be a little bit worse, it might be as simple as getting up and going for a walk around the block, walk around the park, might even be to the end of the driveway and back. Really basic little things that get you up and moving, keep your body and your muscles moving, and it will also help your body pump some of the good hormones around. And then we've got, you know, stuff people find, physiotherapy, massage, acupuncture. There's a loads of different little things that people can be doing which will hopefully come together and find a really good plan that will work for each individual. Unfortunately, like I said earlier, endo is different for everyone. So it will be a bit of trial and error finding out what your specific plan is, what your body needs and wants to manage everything. But, you know, coming up with that long-term plan with things that are natural will be helping you rather than having to turn to pain medications or, you know, stuff that aren't ideal long-term. So yeah, there's lots of things. It can be super overwhelming when you hear about all of the stuff that potentially you've got to go through, or you've got to learn all of this stuff. But just slowly, you know, one day at a time, managing things, figuring it out, slowly learning about it. You know, our website, I keep referring back to it, but our website has loads of information and pretty easy to understand, you know, words to slowly learn about it, what endo is. And it's also, we made sure that is referenced and, you know, it's correct information. Be super careful when just Googling stuff, even though where you're going to land on the internet. Unfortunately, you know, we mentioned earlier, you know, periods and endo, they're not widely spoken about. They're not hugely known. So there's lots of myths out there. So just be super careful when you are trying to come up with, you know, some of that management plan, that you're not just Googling and finding all of these myths and going, oh my goodness, is this what I'm going to do? You know, so finding websites that are referenced to learn more about that self-management. But like I said, you know, it is super overwhelming to get your head around this disease. So we have EndoHelp, which is just a free half an hour on the phone where you can just chat to me. I do it on a Monday afternoon and a Thursday lunchtime. We just book free half an hour where you can chat on the phone and come up with a bit more specialized to kind of what you're going through. I'm not a doctor or nurse or anything like that, unfortunately. But, you know, I'm happy to chat with you and help you come up with a bit of a plan to kind of manage things, you know, maybe just support, and, you know, you might just want to chat to someone who kind of gets it. That's always there, that if you are, you know, oh my goodness, what is all of this? Or maybe this is the first time you're hearing about it and you're going, this kind of sounds like me. I'm always here to kind of chat and, you know, help you forward.
Awesome. It's such a great resource because it can be absolutely daunting when you first start. So having someone, A, that kind of knows what's going on, but can also be your advocate as well if you're struggling, then that's really awesome. We're going to kind of finish with the last question that we kind of ask every speaker on our series. What's one thing you'd like young people to take away from this conversation tonight?
One thing. I think probably that discomfort, that can be often normal with a period, but it's the distressing pain that's never normal. So, you know, if you're taking days off school or education, work, unable to do stuff with your friends because of the pain or the symptoms you're going through, it's not normal. You don't have to be putting up with that for the rest of your life. And, you know, you're not crazy. It's not all in your head. So, you know, go and talk to someone if you're not getting that help from the first person you talk to. Get a second or a third opinion, because you know your body better than anyone. So there will be someone out there that will support you through. Hopefully one day we'll get to the point where you don't have to get multiple opinions before takes you seriously. But the discomfort can often be normal with a period, but it's that distressing pain that's never normal.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been so great to have you.
Thank you so much.
It.
Yeah, awesome.
It's been great. Thanks all for joining us.
Yak Yarns, for fun conversations with health professionals about youth health. Get the podcast at plainsfm.org.nz, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can get in touch with the CDHB Youth Advisory Council on the CDHB website, Facebook, Instagram, or you can email them at cdhbyouth@gmail.com.